something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message. The pursuit of purpose.
Hallelujah.
Coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
As a child of God, you have a ministry and you have a mission. You have a ministry and you have a mission. Your ministry is your service to God and His church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your ministry is your service to God and the church of Jesus Christ, His body. So you are called to serve God. You have a ministry to Him. And we began to talk about part of that ministry as the ministry of a priest. In the house of God. And how you render service in the house of God. Did you know that all the service of the ministry in the Old Testament sanctuary was carried out by priests alone? If you were not a priest, you had no business carrying out any aspect of ministry in the sanctuary. Only the priests were given a responsibility in the sanctuary. And today, you are a priest. Hallelujah. And you're carrying out ministry in the sanctuary of God. It's your divine responsibility. The cleaning of the vessels was done by the priests. The cleaning of the sanctuary was done by the priests. They didn't call the people to do it. They didn't hire anybody from the other tribes to do it. Only the Levites. The slaughtering of the animals for the sacrifices was done by the priests. All the service of ministry was done by the priests. Hallelujah. And you'll recall the Bible tells us how that on a certain occasion, David, the king of Israel, wanted to bring the ark of God into the city of David. He said, I live in a temple, in a palace, and the ark of God is on that tent. So he said, this is not right. I've got to bring the ark of God into its place. I've got to build a large temple for it, a tabernacle for it, and I'll bring the ark of God into the temple. I'm going to build God a great temple so that the presence of God will no longer be in the tents outside there, but inside the tabernacle. And he went about this until God spoke to him and said, here's what I want you to do. Tell your son Solomon to build it. All right? And Solomon built God that temple. Do you remember? Okay. But before Solomon, this thing that David wanted to do was to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. He wanted to bring it into the city. And he called his great men. And they got a beautiful cart, a new cart. And they got the best horses in Israel to drive the cart. And now he's going to bring the Ark of God into the city of David. And David is excited about this. He's so happy he's going to be bringing the Ark of God into the city of David. And, well, they got the cart all right and put the Ark of God on it and put two men to be with the Ark of God to stop it from shaking and to stabilize it while they drove it. And the people were happy and rejoicing on that day. But as they got to a rough place, the horses stumbled and the cart stumbled and the ark shook. And the two men tried to stabilize it there. And they put their hands on the ark of God to keep it from falling. And the Bible says God smote them right there and they died for touching the ark of God. And David, the Bible says, was afraid of God that day. And no longer brought the ark of God to the city of David. He said, take it away. Don't bring it here. And they took it to the house of a certain man named Obed-Edom. And when the ark of God was in that man's house, the man got blessed. He was so blessed. You know, there was such improvement in his life. There was such glory in his life and his family. And the news got to David. They said, look, you put the ark of God in that man's house. And now he's so, I mean, everything is working out for him. The man is so blessed. So David said, that means nothing was wrong with the ark. Maybe something was wrong with us. So he began to search the scriptures. And he found out in the scriptures that nobody was supposed to touch the ark. And that God killed those two men for touching the ark. And that there was a prescribed manner in which to transport the ark of God. It was not to be carried on a new cart, no matter how new the cart was. No matter how beautiful the horses were. God wasn't interested in that. What he was interested in was doing things God's way. You see, God has his ways of doing things. For example, he told you to take your tithes to the house of God. He didn't tell you to give your tithe to your grandmother. Are you listening to this? You can't use your tithe to do good, no matter how good the work is. You can't give your tithes to a suffering person. because the person is suffering, so you're going to give him money. You give him your tithes. You can't give him your tithes. You can give him all the money you want to, but not your tithes. Why? Because, you see, the tithes belongs to God. God said, between me and my children, the tenth part, which is the tithes, he says, the tithe belongs to me. Now, he's not asking you to offer him your tithes. You got to understand the difference between your offerings, all kinds of offerings, and then the tithes and the first fruit offering. God doesn't give you the right to decide whether or not you will give him your tithes. Your tithes, it's God's claim on your prosperity. It is God's claim on your prosperity. And therefore, his connection to your material and financial blessings. In other words, he says that the tithe belongs to him, such that if you don't give it to him, you are robbing him. Because it says, the tithe is mine. That's what he said. Now, you can give him whatever offering you choose to at any time you want to. But the tithe belongs to him. Such that if you withhold the tithe, you are keeping back that which belongs to God. And he will take it from you. Because he told you, you don't keep the tithe. You don't keep it. And you don't decide where you're taking it to. You're taking it to the house of God, where you're learning the Word of God, where the Word of God comes to you, where God ministers to you. There's where you take it to. The first fruit is also the same. The first fruit is not something you decide whether or not you're going to give to God. The first fruit belongs to God. He lays claim on the first fruit. You see that? Now, that is your assurance of prosperity. Because the Bible says, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Which means if you sanctify the first fruit, the rest of what comes to you will be sanctified of God for you.
Do you know about the incredible features of the Teachings app? It's not just a music platform, but a tool for spiritual growth and empowerment. First, C-Tunes offers a vast library of gospel music from around the world. You'll always find songs that uplift and inspire. C-Tunes also provide powerful audio messages. Access teachings from Pastor Chris Ayakalo and DSCDD and other ministers of the gospel for guidance, encouragement, and enlightenment. One of C-Tunes' groundbreaking features is its interactive capability. Connect with other Christians in real time, share testimonies, and participate in discussions. C-Tunes is a community for building relationships and supporting each other on our spiritual journeys, changing lives worldwide. Visit www.ctunes.org. Download the C-Tunes app today from the Lovell App Store, Google Play Store, and the Apple Store to unlock a world of inspiration. C-Tunes, where every feature brings you closer to God and each other.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays. Sundays 8 a.m., Wednesdays 12 noon and 5 p.m., Fridays 5 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-03228, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.
This is the continuation of the message, The Pursuit of Purpose.
Hallelujah. To sanctify the first fruit means that you take it out and said, this belongs to God, and I'm not supposed to use it or do anything else with it. I give it to God. then everything else he will sanctify, meaning that he will separate it from loss, he will separate it from damage, he will separate it from destruction. Glory to God. You get that? All right, now that's important. Doing things, doing God's things God's way. And that's what David began to learn here when he wanted to transport the ark of God. He studied from the scriptures and found out that you couldn't transport the ark of God any way you chose, no matter how nice that way was. He found out that God's prescription was that the priests of God should bear the ark over their shoulders. They didn't need a cart for it. They had to bear it over their shoulders, and they had to be the priests of God. And so when David found out that this was God's prescription, he called the priest again. He called them and he said, I'm very sorry for what I did. Now, you are the ones called of God to bear the ark of God. He says, because we didn't do it according to the prescribed manner the first time, God made a breach upon Uzzah. Uzzah was one of the men that touched the ark, and God killed him. So David said, because we didn't do it according to the prescribed manner, God killed that man. And now we intend to do it right. So you come and carry the ark for us and bring it from the house of Obed-Edom. Praise the Lord. And bring it into the city of David. Did you get the point? You're still there? Hallelujah. So the priests had their responsibilities. They were the bearers of the presence of God. They were the carriers of the ark of God. Now, the ark of God had two things. One was the word of God in it. Actually, that was what was in the ark. There was a time they put Aaron's rod that brought it there, but it was not supposed to remain there. Are you listening to this? What was important about the ark of God was that there was the word of God. He put it in there. But the significant thing was the ark of God carried the presence of God. It signified the presence of God. Where the ark of God went, the presence of God went. And so the priests carried the presence of God. And they were the teachers of the word of God. So now we are the priests of God today. We are the bearers of his presence today. We are his living tabernacle. We are the temple of God today. The ark of God is in our hearts today. Because there's where the presence of God is. There's where the word of God is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I bear the presence of God today. I carry the presence of God today. I'm the transporter of the presence of God today. The real ark of God today lives in my heart. Praise the Lord. So you see, what the priests were expected to do, were instructed to do, we are instructed to do today. They were to teach the word. We are to teach the word. They were to carry the presence. We are to carry the presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then fourthly, the priests were the intercessors. They were the intercessors. And I explained that to you from the word spoken by Samuel the prophet. All right? When he said to them, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And I told you last night, I'll mention that again today. See, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You cannot cease to pray for God's people. Especially because they are under your charge. You have to have the names of your cell members and pray for them continually. Are you listening? Pray for them continually. There was something that God asked the high priest to do. He had to have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on his regalia. The little coat that he wore had these stones, these 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. He bore them over his chest. In other words, the responsibility of God's people is with you. the care of God's people. You see, as a leader, except you have that concern, you cannot carry out ministry for the Lord. You must have that concern. You know, a lot of times we think that ministry is glamorous. We think it's so nice because, you know, you see the preachers, they come up, they speak nicely, they're well dressed, they look like everything's fine. Yeah, but you see, that is the outward part of ministry that you see. What's behind the scene is much more serious. It's much more serious. It's got nothing to do with all that you wear and all that you look like. It's a serious responsibility. And it is on your knees that you can actually express how that you are a true sharer in the ministry of Christ. Are you listening? You remember what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. See, he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. That means partnering in his sufferings. That's why we don't care when people persecute us and call us names. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says those who will live godly in Christ, all those who will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If they have not started calling you names, you haven't started living for Christ. If they have not started insulting you and persecuting you, your light is not burning brightly enough. The sign, the main sign that you are now really different from the world is the persecution. The main sign that you are different from the carnal desires of life, that you are different from all that the world represents, because they want you to do their bidding. They want you to act the way they want you to. They want you to join their club. The sign that you are out of that club is persecution. Persecution is in different degrees. It's not the same level for everybody. But you will surely be persecuted, whether you are 9 years old or you are 90 years old. Whether you work in the king's palace or you walk in the street, you will be persecuted. Jesus said, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. For so spake they of the false prophets. They spoke well of the false prophets, but they condemn the prophets of God. It says, happy are you if they speak evil of you and persecute you. Hallelujah. Then it says, pray for them. Those who persecute you and despitefully use you. It says, don't get angry. See, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you are in the right company. Hallelujah. So when they call you names, don't feel sad. No, walking rightly with God will attract persecution. It will attract condemnation from the world. So don't expect that if you're doing right, everybody should accept you. It's not that way. Just because someone is a great religious leader doesn't mean he knows Christ. It doesn't matter what you wear on your head. It doesn't matter how long the robe is. Christ is in your heart. And it comes out in the love of God, hallelujah, that's expressed through you when you speak and the things you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand for what you believe. All right? Doesn't matter how many people are on the other side. If the word of God says it, stand for it. Stand for it. If what you stand for has to be sealed in your blood, do it. What do you want to live for? Cowards want to live another day just to protect themselves. What are you afraid of? This gospel we preach came to us by the blood of others. Don't you understand what I'm talking about? The men who died that we may hear this thing. That's all they live for. Some of them knew they were going to die, and they went for it. And that's why we got it. So don't be deceived by the seeming glamour of ministry. All right? Don't be deceived. No. That's just a decoration. Because we've got to also communicate with the people of our day. That's why. So don't be carried away by that.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. From this day, through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy, Siluco 1, number 18, Siluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m., Wednesday, 12 noon, and 5 p.m., Fridays, 5 p.m. Thank you for joining us today. If you will like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call 070-606-032-28, 080-982-62823, or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.